This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. A Syngenta corn litigation meeting is scheduled for next Tuesday evening at the VFW in Litchfield. Jeff Mollett, an attorney from Greenville, explained some of the details of the lawsuit and said the meeting is open to the public. He also said it's very important that farmers attend and learn what actions they need to take to protect themselves.
The meeting is Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. at the VFW in Litchfield. The purpose of the meeting is to get some good information out there and to provide an opportunity for attorneys to provide answers to the local farmers for questions they might have on this litigation. The litigation really stems from some corn that was developed by Syngenta in 2009 and released into the market called Viptera and Duracade. And these corns have a specific genetic trait that is designed to provide protection for the farmer against rootworm and some other things. And what happened was the corn was released to be planted and therefore harvested and put into the stream of commerce, but approval for that type of corn had not been obtained in certain overseas markets, one of which was China. Ultimately, China rejected all of the corn beginning in, I believe it was December of 2013 and through 2014 until the powers that be were able to make arrangements and get that corn approved. During that period of time, the allegations are that the price of corn here in the United States, because of the unavailability of that market, was significantly decreased. And the National Grain and Feed Association, I believe, has indicated through their expert that the price of corn probably went down between 11 cents and 25 cents a bushel. So if you're a farmer that grew corn, whether you grew that type of corn or not, that corn was mixed with your corn and put into the general stream of commerce, and therefore all corn, no matter what type of corn it was, suffered the same price decreases. So that's kind of what the lawsuit's really about. Right now there's just not a lot of really good information out there, and this meeting is going to be held so that the attorneys who are actually handling these cases in Williamson County, Illinois, will be able to answer questions that people might have so that we can get some good information to the farmers.
And what attorneys will be speaking at the meeting on Tuesday?
At this point, I believe we have Chad Findley, who is one of the lead attorneys on this matter, as well as Michael Gross. And they're both from the Madison County, St. Clair County area. They are Illinois attorneys who understand this. They understand the farm economy, and Chad grew up on a farm, actually, like I did. So he's got a pretty good handle on what's going on, and we're trying to do is make them available so that, again, information can be obtained that's valuable and helpful.
And this meeting is open to anyone with an interest or that would be wanting to learn more about this topic, correct?
That is correct.
Well, I think you've given us a pretty good overview about the lawsuit and what's going to be happening at the meeting. Any other comments about this that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I would just say I would encourage farmers to attend or anyone with an interest. It could be very important to protect your claim and protect your rights here to get signed up somehow, and these guys will be able to tell you how to do that. And whether you use them or someone else, they're not really going to come in with a big marketing plan here. They're really trying to get the information out there so that farmers don't get left behind. And that's what the goal of this is to make sure that farmers understand they really need to act here to make sure they've protected themselves.
Jeff Mollett, attorney from Greenville, and again, that meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, March 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the VFW on Ryder Street in Litchfield. And we'll be back with more after these messages. In a story from Todd Gleason, who serves as a farm broadcaster for U of I Extension, yesterday's USDA World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report didn't really change much. The report seems a shade friendlier than before, according to U of I ag economist Daryl Good. He says demand for soybeans is off just a bit, but the 10 million bushel drop wasn't unexpected. There were a few other changes, and Daryl says those were in the worldwide numbers.
If you had to summarize those, you would say they were all slightly positive from a price standpoint. For production, we did see lower estimates of wheat for Australia and India, a slightly smaller forecast of corn production for South Africa. And importantly, I think on the demand side, a 1.5 million ton increase in expected Chinese imports of soybeans this marketing year. You look at all those little changes, and what we did see was modest reductions in the projection of world-ending stocks of corn, soybeans, and wheat compared to what USDA was projecting last month.
Darrell also said what the March WASD didn't show and that the trade had expected was an increase in the size of the Brazilian soybean crop. This may still happen, but not this month.
It may ultimately, but it didn't show up here. Overall, you'd say really not much negative in this report and some slightly friendly information.
U of I ag economist Darrell Good. The Senate may be settling for pushing through a mandatory GMO labeling bill, but in the form of mandatory disclosure. Industry lobbyists told the Hagstrom Report that Senate ag leaders are moving towards a proposal favored by USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack requiring the use of smart labels and banning state labeling laws. The lobbyists referred to this system as mandatory disclosure rather than mandatory labeling. Secretary Vilsack called for the system in two separate speeches within the last week at Commodity Classic and the National Farmers Union annual convention. The lobbyists say it appears that the food companies lobbying against mandatory labeling are more comfortable with that term, mandatory disclosure. Vilsack has said that President Barack Obama would sign such a bill. The Senate appears likely to attempt passing the measure before the Easter recess that begins March 18th. The Obama administration will announce measures that further ease travel and trade restrictions on Cuba later this month. Ahead of his visit to Cuba, President Obama is slated to make the announcement on March 17th. The new rules will mark his latest effort to use executive powers to sidestep Congress and chip away at the U.S. embargo against Cuba, according to Reuters. The measures are expected to make travel easier for Americans and further loosen trade and banking rules. However, a ban on general tourism to Cuba will remain in force. It's part of the broader U.S. embargo and can only be lifted by Congress. The embargo also places stiff restrictions on trade and financing of ag products. The president will travel to Cuba on March 21st, the first visit to Cuba by a sitting president since the 1920s. And that's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.